Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
The other thing I used to do when I was younger, probably a lot of people did this, I'd walk and obviously think I was like in a movie and someone's walking behind me, and I'd pick up my phone and be like, "Dad, are you coming back from the police station or are you having a late shift?" And I'd like talk
Wait,
to my
that's
fake
so
dad.
Smart. I think that we're actually very street savvy, to be perfectly honest.
This is Not Skinny But Not Fat, and I'm your host, Amanda, here to bring you the latest in all pop culture news, celebrity gossip, reality TV recaps, anything happening in Hollywood right now that I just can't keep my mouth shut about. This is Not Skinny But Not but Fat. Hey guys, this week I'm chatting with Rachel O'Brien from Vanderpump Rules. She is an actress, an actor. She's a comedian. She's BFF with everyone on VPR. And she also appeared in several episodes as Kristen's best friend. She also dated Jax. And she's also hilarious. So enjoy my convo with her. I'm welcoming a very special guest right now, Rachel O'Brien, who is an actress, a comedian, a podcastress, which is a word I just made up.
Ooh, I like it.
Is on Vanderpump Rules, my fave show of all times.
I'm legit barely on that show, but sure. If you're a big fan of background characters on Vanderpump Rules.
Well, duh. But the thing is, like, first of all, if you're a big fan of the show, then you would know everyone on the show.
Good call.
So obviously I know Rachel O'Brien, but I need to ask you first and foremost, and most importantly, your name is spelled A-E-L.
Listen, I know.
It's very confusing.
I think that I would have more followers on social media if I wasn't so goddamn hard to find.
And you would have an easier life. Like I thought about you. I swear to God, I'm such a compassionate person. I literally thought of you and I was like, her whole life, people spelled her name wrong. Her whole entire life.
I really don't care if people spell it wrong, but it is a weird name. Even when like people put it in like search engines, because also my last name, like any search engine doesn't recognize apostrophes. They're very confused by it. So it's a whole thing. It's been hard, you know. I'm in counseling for it.
Are you like Raquel or something originally?
No.
Are your parents from somewhere unique and they like have different spelling? Is there a reason behind this?
First of all, I wish I was Raquel. That's so much jazzier than Rachel. My whole life would be so much different. I would be so much more sexy, I think, and alluring if I was a Raquel. But my dad is Michael. And it's spelled the same way. So I think they made me Rachel. And then I think I was also named after an actress that spells it this way.
Which one?
Well, someone from like the 60s or 70s. I don't know.
Okay. Well, anyway, because when I did, you know, just a little bit of searching for your name, and I was like, first I saw my producer write it and I was like, Jeff is such an idiot. And then I was like, wait, that's how she spells it. And then I saw you come up in a different place, but it was spelled just with the E. And I was like, wait, who's wrong here? So then, very unique name. And everyone, it's A-E-L.
Thank you. I love how compassionate you are towards it.
I am. Listen, I'm Amanda. It doesn't get easier than that to spell. So I've had no issues with
it. It's not spelled any like fancy way.
No, I wish. Even though the fun thing about my name is that apparently, like, it's Spanish.
Like, Amanda's or Hirsch's?
No, Amanda.
Amanda.
Is, yeah. So wherever I go, people speak to me in Spanish. And I love it. But I speak some Spanish, so it works out for me. And then later in life, I found out that in Latin, Amanda means she who must be loved.
Oh, well, this is great news for you.
So you know what I did, Rachel? You know what the first thing I did after finding that out was?
What?
I got it tattooed on myself.
You got Amanda, the one who must be loved?
No, I got she who must be loved.
I love that. That's really cute.
I first of all, I must be loved.
Yeah.
I'm like very needy and I need everyone to love me.
So where's it at?
It's under my bosom.
Okay. So, all right. So let's just say, for example, you start dating a guy and you take your shirt off for the first time. Don't you feel like it's a little bit of pressure?
Well, Rachel, luckily I got it when I was already married. So there is no press and he must love me till the day he dies. So
yeah,
we're
he was
good
already
with that.
Legally bound into it. Yeah.
Yeah. But it would be. But like sometimes it could it's a little bit narcissistic, but I'm a little bit narcissistic. So I'm like kind of okay with that.
You wouldn't have a podcast or be in entertainment. I mean, like there's no one that is in the position that we're in that's not a little bit narcissistic.
It's not a little bit. I actually listened to your podcast, which is called Be Here for a While.
Yes.
Well, I want to know, first of all, where that name came from and like what you mean. Is it just like, I'm going to be here for a while, bitch, like get used to it?
No, actually. So oddly enough, Stassi's ex-boyfriend, Patrick, it was when they were still dating. He kind of helped me come up with it because he worked in radio. Now I hate that fact because now she's getting married to Bo, but whatever.
And everyone kind of hates Patrick.
Yeah, he really just didn't show his best side on the show. So I think I kind of had like the idea of it and like, but I had like 10 other names and he seemed to like that one the best, but it was like, it's based on like that old like hacky joke comedians used to do, or the thing they used to say at the end of jokes, like, I'll be here all night.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. And also like a play on just, I think it's probably just like, I'm not going anywhere type of thing.
Oh, okay. I got it.
Yeah.
Well, I like it. And I actually listened to your episode with Alexis Nyers and I was like obsessed with that show, which I'm not sure a lot of people were. I don't know if I'm like who watched it.
Well, it only had one season, right?
Right. But it was called Pretty Wild and it was about like this like LA family that was like kooky, but also about that girl Alexis Nyers being in like the bling ring that like robbed Paris Hilton's house and whatever. So at first I was like rando guest to have on Rachel, but then I was like, like, what a good episode. I loved her story.
It's fascinating.
And she's fascinating. And I hear you, her being like, heroin, this. And you're like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're like, uh-huh. So when you, yep, same. I got it.
Same, sure. Yeah.
So how
I've
do
never,
you?
I've never even done Molly or whatever. People, like, I think I said that on the podcast. If someone was like, I'm rolling, I'd be like, what's that mean? I don't do you.
So you don't do drugs. You don't do drugs. Is that like, is there a reason?
I just don't. I never even like saw a drug until I was like in my early 20s. Like I don't know. Like I just think it's like, I don't really see the point.
Not even pot?
I think I saw pot. I think I may even smoked it like once in high school, but I knew right away. Oh yeah, I did. I did once in high school. And then my friend, I picked up the phone. I dialed the operator and told the operator that I needed to confess something to our parents. Yes. So that gives you like an idea of what I'm like in the cool crowd.
Wait. So you tried pot or saw it?
Yeah, I did try it. I'm remembering it now. Is
you
it my
tried
friend?
And then who did – who you called your parents?
No, I called the operator, oddly enough. Like, I just dialed zero on a landline phone because I just felt like I got real paranoid. I had to tell someone.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Yeah. And I guess I expected the operator to relay the message. But I don't think I got that far into it because now I'm remembering, yeah, my friend Sabrina was like, no, we grabbed the phone from you and practically tackled you to the ground.
Wait, is it like you don't want to lose control? You're like a control freak. Is it like anxiousness to like have a mind-altering experience? Or is it just like not interested?
I think it's a combination of all of it. Like, I don't like the thought of like I know how much I can drink before I'm drunk. And I know exactly. I can drink water in between. Like, yeah. I know how that works. Doing it a while, but like, I don't like the thought of putting a pill or a substance in my body and it may have a weird reaction and I can't get it out.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'm like an anxious baby, so I don't like that either. And to me, people who like do drugs are like brave. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm like, you're so brave. Like, you don't even know what's going to happen to you and you're like willing to do it. And
yeah, you might die. Brave. I think they don't care. Or I feel like it's like a slippery slope of like, if you've done it enough and nothing bad happened, then you're just like, whatever.
Yeah. No, it's kind of crazy. So that was a really, really good podcast.
Thank you. She's really interesting.
And I thought I was going in to hear like a comedy podcast. So I was, so that's why I wanted to also hear from you. Like what, like how would you describe your podcast and like what kind of guests you have on and like what you're sort of trying to do with that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess it was like it started out as technically a comedy podcast just because I'm a comedian. And I was like, I guess that's a category I go under. And sometimes it is just funny stuff. But I just started just interviewing people I found interesting. Like, mm-hmm. I like hearing interesting stories. Like, I've even had like some true crime stuff on. So, I mean, I'm not trying to do anything with it other than like, you know, put out entertaining content that's interesting to me and I believe is interesting to my listeners. And also, like, I've even started, like, trying to, like, I don't know, give, like, positive encouragement to people. Like, I just don't want to be a podcast that's, like, all about just, like, you know, just complaining about stuff or being like, yeah, I got fucked up this weekend. And, like, I don't want to put out something that doesn't either teach someone something or entertain them in a way that's not just sort of vapid. I don't know.
Yeah, no, for sure. There are podcasts I listen to that I'd walk down the street and it looks like I'm like amening. I'm like, like,
which ones do you listen to?
Well, I think what got me started on podcasts is Dax Shepard's.
Oh, it's good.
Hunter expert. He's so good. Mm-hmm. He does 2 hours, which is crazy to me.
Yeah, it's a little long.
And it's crazy to think that you like will give 2 hours of your life and listen. But sometimes I listen to it in parts or I choose just the guests that I like. But he actually got me into listening to podcasts. And then to be like really honest with everyone, like when I started mine and I have to like put in so much time and effort, which I enjoy, but it makes it harder for me to then like listen to other podcasts.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Do you feel the same way?
I was like that at first. I like never listened to any other podcasts. But now I've like been on a podcast binge. And so it's like, I listen to that more than I do music now.
Wow.
Yeah. But I was like that at first, but now it's just kind of interesting to like hear what works for people. And like, I don't know. I also like really love true crime podcasts. So.
Yeah. And people love that shit too. I feel like I don't fall, like I'm not like a true crime person, but
I didn't think I was, but I am.
Really?
Oh yeah. I mean, I've always been fascinated by it, but like I never was like, you know, constantly listening or watching things about it. But once I started listening to it, I'm like, this is so fascinating.
Like about murders and stuff?
Yeah, but it's not great for your sleep. Like I, at least, I would say 5 out of 7 nights a week, I'm convinced someone's about ready to come into my house and murder me.
Oh my God, that's
so
scary.
And I get up in the middle of the night, I check my locks. I have...
Wait, do you live alone?
Yeah. And then, in like a very safe building and like whatever, but like I've now just made myself so unbelievably paranoid.
Oh my God. No, that's really scary. That's really scary. I think that's why I choose to not, I'm not a scaredy cat. Like I'll watch scary movies and everything, mm-hmm. but people that are obsessed with like murder and stuff, I'm like, wait, but then don't you like think about you it get all so, day and all night?
But it does also make you more aware. Like I go running a lot and even during the day, like I don't have my headphones on too loud. Like I'm hyper aware of like, anything could happen at any time. Like people go missing
That's
all the
smart.
Time in the middle of the day. I also have a taser. So there's that.
Oh my God. No, Rachel, I think that the true crime is getting to you.
Listen, It's also really fun. Well, I rarely do this and I should really not do it, but I live really close to the Comedy Store. So when I perform there, and if it's not like too late or too dark, I'm like, it's like a quarter mile. I should just walk home. And so I'll walk home, but I fire off warning shots with the taser as I'm walking. Cause I'm like, I look so crazy. No one will mess with me.
Oh my God. I can't wait. Where's the Comedy Store? Is it on
Sunset Boulevard?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I know where that is. That is.
I feel like if you just make yourself look crazy enough, no one's going to mess with you.
I used to go on the subway and obviously think I was really hot. So thought everyone like wanted to like attack me and molest me. And I would make the ugliest faces, like for real. And this is a game I would play with myself because I'd be taking the subway home at like 3 a.m, which I don't know how my mom let me, but I would.
Oh, how scary.
And I would just make these like faces or like curl my lips in. So just like my gums were showing. And I do this great just to look like unattractive.
That's amazing. And no joke, I've done that before too. Like when someone, like if I'm running or walking or whatever, and like someone like creepily like whistles or something, I will then just make the ugliest face at them.
That is so smart. I really feel like this is like, because I'm picturing the warning shots is hilarious. And then my subway thing is funny.
Oh, your subway thing is hilarious.
But I'm just picturing like, let's say you're really scared of someone on the street and just fucking act weird. Like be like, and like start looking like a gremlin, like monster.
No one
and like
will want to mess with you. It's brilliant. Honestly.
No, it's brilliant, you guys. Because the other thing I used to do when I was younger, probably a lot of people did this. I'd walk and obviously think I was like in a movie and someone's walking behind me. Mm-hmm. And I'd pick up my phone and be like, Dad, are you coming back from the police station or are you having a late shift? And I'd like talk
Wait,
to my
that's
fake
so
dad.
I think that we're actually very street savvy, to be perfectly honest.
First of all, I think we might be paranoid to have all these tricks. But yeah, I used to talk to my fake dad that works at a fake police station and be like, oh, so you're coming with a gun home tonight? I see. Okay.
Are you a block away with a gun, Dad? Okay. Yeah. No, I'm fine, Dad. But if you just want to trail me with a gun. So funny.
That's so, it's funny, but then it's like when you think about the fact that us ladies have to think about this crazy shit and be so scared, it's like kind of sad, but
it's really sad.
But at least we have our tricks and our ugly faces. And
I think we could teach a self-defense class, honestly.
I really
and
have
it
a
wouldn't
feeling
be
like,
about like you would never be in the position where you needed to learn the physical contact and attack.
Rachel,
stuff.
I really think this is really good for your stand-up. Like, I feel like you need to do this for your stand-up.
Maybe I will do a bit on it. I'll credit you for part of it.
No, not even. I just think it's so funny to say, like, who needs self-defense and, like, you know, boxing people and, you know, giving them a shin in their balls when you can just, like, act like a wild goose on the street.
Like a wildebeest.
That is hilarious. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. Today, I want to tell you guys about FabFitFun. FabFitFun is a women's lifestyle subscription box filled with full-size premium beauty, lifestyle, fitness, home, and wellness products that get sent straight to your doorstep each season. I got my fall box, and a few things I loved were the Anthropologie travel yoga mat, the Wander Beauty baggage claim gold eye mask, which if you follow me on Instagram, you probably saw me trying it on my stories. As a FabFitFun member, you can also customize the box and choose products that match your lifestyle. And members also receive access to on-demand videos from FabFitFun TV. In addition to the box, members gain access to flash sales. It's $39.99 instead of $49.99. And by the way, that $49.99 box always has a value of over $200. You go to FabFitFun.com and when you check out, you use Not Skinny for $10 off your first box. That is Not Skinny for $10 off your first box at www.FabFitFun.com. So you live alone, but you have a boyfriend, I heard now. You're not single.
Yes, I do. I do.
But you used to talk a lot about like being single and single life, like on your podcast, right? So how did that work now that you're not single and you can't?
I mean, mean, I just have other stuff to talk about. I mean, I just,
yeah.
I mean, you heard the Alexis Nears one where I talked about the fact that I got bad Botox that seeped into my facial muscles. Now I can't smile.
Yeah, I wanted to talk. Wait, is that still happening?
Yeah, I went to the doctor like 2 weeks afterwards, which was just Monday. And I was like, yo, what's up with my face? Also, I'm a comedian. I'm supposed to smile and laugh for a living, and I couldn't do it. Like, I had to headline a show in Seattle for an hour without being able to really move my mouth fully.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I made a joke out of it. But, yeah, so it was – and he was like, oh, it's like happens in like 1 in 1,000 people. I'm like, great. So I should get a lottery ticket.
And the scary thing is, okay, so first of all, so Rachel was telling on her podcast that she got Botox. She's gotten it before, but this time it made her face like not move at all for a while.
Yeah, I guess he said like it. So obviously you can't get Botox near your mouth, I don't think, but I didn't get it there. I got it just like lightly around my eyes and then like in between my eyebrows. But I guess he's like, I think it just some trickled down into... I don't know.
Oh, you guessed, motherfucker? You guessed?
Yeah, exactly.
No,
yeah.
But you know what like struck me the most about what you said was that you were like, I don't even know why I get it. I don't even have wrinkles. Like, what has LA done to me? Like, why do I even get this shit? So I why, Rachel?
I don't know. Because I just think it, I guess it's preventative. Who knows? I mean, I have like little like crow's feet when I smile, but they're not at rest. But who doesn't when they smile?
Also, you're crunching up your face. But who cares?
I know. Listen, I've drank the poison.
Wait, how old are you?
But I don't do anything else.
Yeah.
My just mid to late 20s. No, I'm like very early 30s.
What? You're early 30s and you're embarrassed to say your age?
I don't know. Listen, I'm an actress. I need them to cast me.
She's 17 for the CW.
I need them to cast me to play college.
She's 17. She could be on the Gossip Girl reboot.
Yeah, I'm available. Listen, I could be like James Vanderbeek, who looked about 38 when he was playing high school.
He really did. But we were too young and stupid to like think about that. You know what I mean?
Oh, I noticed. Oh, you did? I noticed. I was like, this is the worst casting ever.
Oh my God. The James Vanderbeek. That is funny.
I wonder how old he actually was when he was doing that.
That is so funny. So, okay. But I want to go back because you are a comedian and an actress and 17 and wanting to be on the CW. So tell me a little bit about where you were born, how you, grew up and how you decided you wanted to be a comedian / actress.
Okay. So I grew up in a small town in Oregon I went to high school in a place called Morrinton, but everyone knows that story and more. That's where I grew up as a kid. It was where the Goonies were filmed. You know that place? That's all we have. Oh no, we also have Kindergarten Cop, and I was an extra in Kindergarten Cop, a featured extra.
Oh, at what age?
Well, I was in kindergarten when Kindergarten Cop was made. So they took people out of our kindergarten class and gave us some featured extra parts. They cut my scene because they didn't know talent. But I did grow up around a lot of movies. They filmed Free Willy on my street. Like I grew up around like a lot of like movies being filmed in my little town. It's a very small town. But I was also like, I was a dancer and, I was obnoxious. I was just weird and really liked to put on a lot of performances and change my name and act out SNL skits. Like I was just whatever, but I didn't know being a stand-up comic could be like a career. Like I was like, oh, I'll be on SNL or I'll be an actress or something. And, so I always knew that I wanted to be. Like to the point where my eighth grade, you know, you write those like prophecies of like what you're going to be when you're older.
And then you mail it, like you save it in an envelope.
You don't save it. No, you just wrote it in the yearbook. And God I was on the editing staff of the yearbook. So I got to keep my really bizarre quote in. And my, so other kids were like, I want to be a teacher. I want to be a mom. I want to be a basketball player. Mine said, I want to go on a road trip in a rainbow colored Volkswagen van. Move to New York while I will own and run my own Studio 54, then move to LA and become a famous actress and never look back.
Oh
makes
my
no
God.
Sense.
Wait, what? So how weird. Old were you when you wrote this?
Eighth grade. Apparently I thought I was bringing the 60s and 70s back as well.
Like it's like kind of like half really mature and like, wow, how are you so like advanced and half like you were still a baby?
Well, I also kind of just was trying to be funny, but the actress part of it was correct. So.
Yeah.
So yeah, I knew. And then moved to LA after college.
So you went to college for acting or just for something else?
My parents wouldn't just let me move to LA. Yeah. So I went to college, but I went to University of Oregon, but I finished in 3 years. I finished quickly so I could get down here. And I took whatever the easiest degree was to finish, which was political science. And I knew that because that's what all the athletes took.
But isn't that funny? Like, so your parents, because otherwise you wouldn't have gone to college or you would have studied acting if your parents were, like, if it wasn't important to them?
I think, first of all, I didn't even admit to them until like maybe my first year of college that I wanted to move to LA and be an actress. I mean, I think I would talk about it lightly, but I don't think they ever thought I would do it. Mm. And I think that I knew that I had to at least finish that portion, which I did. I mean, I graduated when I was 20, so it was pretty young.
Yeah.
So I think I at least knew I had to finish that portion so I could have a little bit of their support, you know, like at least she's got a degree. But I don't think they would have been too thrilled with me just being like, nah, I'm not going to college.
Yeah, but it's so, because I talked to my husband about this the other day and I was like, because I studied communications and I feel like it was just like, I interviewed a celebrity hairstylist and I was so jealous that she, from a young age, knew she wanted to be a hairstylist. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like had this, like, she was like 16 and she was like, I want to style hair, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And convinced her like really, strict like Persian parents that she's not going to be a lawyer or a doctor, but she wants to do hair, which wasn't, you know,
I think
like
that's really cool to be like that so brave cool. And like that strong in your conviction. Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool. And then to like, you know, like you said, like have that conviction to be like, this is what I want to do. And like, know that you want to do that and do something not conventional for like where you're from and who you are. And so I get jealous of that. Professions that are like so, you know, niche and specific. Cause I was like 18, went to my guidance counselor. She was like, you're really good with people. Like you should study communications. And I was like, okay. And looked for the best school for communications. Cause I was like, if I'm going to go, then it should be good. Then decided based on like who gave me like enough like scholarship, you know what I mean? Like no decision was made out of like, you know, which I'm sure you feel the same way because you weren't like, I'm going to be a political scientist. No, I'm just kidding.
But I felt like I did. I knew my first year of college, I got to get to LA. How do I get out of here as quickly as possible?
How do I get out of here? How did you think LA and not New York? Like, was it like a debate or did you?
Well, I guess it's just because I'm from the West Coast. And I feel like LA has more opportunity. And by that time, my parents had a vacation home in Palm Springs. So, like, I was going to California a lot. And I don't know. And my mom's sort of half from California. I don't know. So, it just seemed right.
Oh, it wasn't, like, this far off place, like, the unknown. And it felt like
No, I mean, girly. I moved there alone. And I moved there on a lie, too. So, I was kind of calculating. But just, I'm impressed by that girl who would, like, say that to her parents. But, like, I literally just was like, I have to get there, but I have to find creative ways to do it. So I like said, told my parents I needed to go down to LA for a job interview, like right after college. And it might've just been an internship. It was nothing. I maybe lasted a week at whatever it was, but I went on this dumb interview that no one told me I had to start the next day. But I called my parents. They're like, they said I have to start tomorrow. So I guess I can't come back. So if you could just,
and you were 20.
Yeah. 21. I turned 21 like right after I graduated. I was 21. So I was like, if you could just like move my stuff down here, this would be great for me and this job. And then I literally probably stayed in a week and then started taking acting classes and got agents and like got a waitressing job. I hoodwinked them.
But Rachel, that's not too easy. You're saying it like it's easy. It's not easy to get an agent.
I mean, it was just like a commercial agent, like a print agent at first.
I'm saying like you put in the work, you like went to acting classes.
Yeah.
Got in. Yeah. So you knew. So you had the conviction and the.
I had a plan.
You had a plan.
Yeah.
And you moved there alone. That's like a big deal.
I wasn't overly afraid at all.
You weren't afraid.
No.
That's what young age does.
Yeah, totally.
Today I'd be like,
I don't think I would. I mean, I travel everywhere alone. I mean, around the world. I mean, I just went with my friend Natasha as a comedian. We just did a tour in Europe, but like, I would have done that alone. Been fine.
That's crazy. Yeah. I saw you did a tour in Europe in English.
Yeah. Well, duh. Yeah. Because it was, yeah, no, I learned 7 different languages and
I'm a blonde, you guys. Okay. Yeah,
that was the hardest part of it, was just Rosetta Stoning my way through the winter so I can get ready for this spring tour. No, it was like, and the people that came to the shows, they were like already like my podcast listeners and stuff. So it wasn't like, there weren't a lot of just like random Germans or, you know, Parisians or whatever, just wandering into the show. It was like,
was it more like Americans that are living in these places?
No, no, there were people like, there were no Americans that came to our show in Prague. It was all people that, you know, lived in Prague, but they, you know, spoke great English and had listened to my podcast and stuff. So yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. You have like an international podcast following.
I guess so. I mean, I don't know. It's probably just like a few people sprinkled throughout, but enough that it worked. Yeah.
That's amazing. And so do you like doing stand-up more, or like, would your dream be more to be like acting and like television and movies and stuff?
I mean, I'll never stop doing stand-up. That would be like cutting off an arm. It's like my favorite thing to do. But I'll just do that simultaneously with like, I write too. I went to grad school for screenwriting. So like, you know, I'll do stand up simultaneously while writing and hopefully starring in the movies and TV shows I make. Yeah, I won't stop. So
that's like that's like the goal, to be like working all the time, performing and also doing stand up.
Yeah, 100%. And I have like the podcasting and stand up thing down. Like that's all I do. I don't have like a side job or anything, but it would be, the goal is to expand it into many other things in entertainment.
So what's like, which stand-up comedian do you like look up to the most? Like who's like it for you?
That's a good question. Look up to like, is different.
Like, was there anyone? Well, no. Was there anyone who was doing stand-up that you're like, I want to be like this person. Like that's the kind of like stand-up comedian I want to be, or that made you kind of.
I mean, I just find people that I think are like some of the funniest people. But, like, I don't know if there's any, like, specific – I'm trying to think. Specific career – I mean, I'd like Judd Apatow's career.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ellen's career is great, too. David Spade. I was obsessed with David Spade and Chris Farley when I was a kid.
Oh, he's so good. He's hilarious. He's so good. And he's coming back. He's coming back big time.
Nice. He's got a new show.
He's got a new show. And he, like – because I recap a lot of, like, shows. So I do, like, Bachelor Nation stuff. Mm-hmm. And – my followers always tell me like that he does like similar stuff.
It's hilarious.
So I came across like, and I just love it.
He's
so funny.
He's so sarcastic. I love it.
He's so sarcastic.
I love that kind of humor, that like sarcastic, like dry
humor. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. So we do want to talk about Vanderpump Rules just a little bit. So
absolutely
where were you, I guess, were you friends with anyone before the show started filming?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, always say that there wouldn't be Vanderpump Rules without me and Kristen and Jax, because when I first, the first year I lived in LA, and it was before Kristen even lived here full time, Kristen was still flying in from Michigan, and Kristen and I were doing modeling jobs together, and we were doing a lot of like fit modeling, which is where you just like try on jeans for people. I don't know. And
wait, how did you know her then if she's from Michigan?
We just got cast on the same modeling job. So then we became friends through that. And then we happened to be on another modeling job that Jax was working like across, like we were at like this like clothing convention in Vegas. He was across the way. Jax came over, basically hit on me. Jax and I started dating. Then Jax and I introduced Kristen and Sandoval. And this is like 12 years ago or more. I don't know.
Oh, my God. So is that right when you moved, sort of?
Yeah, he was the first person I dated.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. That's a crazy story.
But now it doesn't even – it's been so long. I always say it's like bankruptcy. It cancels out. Like, it's – I don't even think of us as having dated.
But was it like for a few months?
No, we dated for like a year and like lived together at certain points. Oh, yeah.
Was he a good boyfriend?
What do you think? Did you
watch the show?
Just take a guess.
But you seem like the kind of girl that, like, a take no shit kind of girl.
And I didn't. Like, right when I found out he cheated on me, I broke up with him instantly. But there was a lot of, like, I saw him as, like, really troubled back then. And
Which he probably is.
Yeah. Oh, he very much is. And, I mean, he's not now, but, like, he was then. He was very confused, and he admits to all this. And so I felt like I needed to, like, stay with him to, like, help him out. He didn't need my help, clearly. But, so we broke up. And then
you introduced Kristen and Sandoval.
Yeah, because Sandoval was one of Jax's friends. Kristen was my friend. So then we introduced them. And then, he was roommates with Sandoval after we broke up, I think. Maybe they were roommates in Miami too. I don't remember. And then after Jax and I broke up, I didn't talk to, because Kristen was studying Sandoval, I didn't talk to her for a little while. And obviously I wasn't talking to Jax. And then Chris and I would sort of connect here and there, but then I went out with one of my friends. It's friends of was one of the field producers on Vanderpump. It was like second season or something. And she was just asking me a bunch of questions about them. And I was like, yeah, I know them. And then blah, blah, blah. And then they called me. And it was basically like Kristen had ruined all of her friendships in second season. They were like, we really need Kristen to have a friend. And so asked me if I would do the show. And I was,
oh wait, so when the first season came on, you weren't really in, like,
I hadn't
in touch with anyone.
I hadn't been talking to them.
So how did it feel? Like, was it super weird? Were you, like, jealous?
Not at all. I didn't even really watch it. Really? I mean, reality TV wasn't anything I wanted to do, and that was back at a time when it was still like kind of risky to do it. Now I don't think people care, but I still was like, yeah, I really want to be taken seriously. It's like, and not to say that they're not, I mean, frankly, I'm so proud of them. Like, it has opened so many doors for them, but I've always been very okay with taking a slower route, but to do it the way I want to do it.
Yeah.
So, and that's why, I mean, I didn't even fully, you know, conform to what the show wanted. So they asked me to come in for an on-camera interview. I said yes. And then they were like, hey, we want you to do the show. I was like, okay. And then they said, but you need to work at the restaurant. And I was like, I'm not going to say I work at a restaurant when I don't work at a restaurant. Because at that time, I wasn't like, I wasn't a professional comedian in the sense of, like, I didn't have a side job, but I didn't have, like, a public side job. So I could have easily just been like, yeah, I'm a professional comedian.
Right.
Because I was just managing apartment buildings, but, like, no one knew that really.
But you didn't want to be a waitress. You didn't want to act like a waitress.
I didn't want to act like a waitress, and I didn't want to... Yeah, like take us, it's not like a step down, but like I was supporting myself just fine doing what I was. I just didn't want to pretend, and I didn't want, I don't know. And I didn't want to be that involved with, So then I said, no, I didn't want to work at the restaurant. And they were like, cool, you can't be on the show. I was like, no prob. And then they called me like a week later and they were like, actually, we want you and we'll introduce you doing stand up. So the first scene I ever filmed was me doing stand up at the Improv. And I was like, yes, of course I will do that.
Yeah, you're like, hell yeah.
Yeah. So,
and that was, wait, was that the episode with Kristen where she did stand up too?
No, that was like a few seasons later or a season. It was just a quick clip. I'm wearing like a red dress. It's the first time I'm introduced. And it's basically like I tell like a half of a joke that was not funny because it was a half of a joke, maybe even a quarter of a joke. And
wait, does it say Rachel's friend? I mean, yeah,
it says like Rachel,
friend.
Kristen's friend. And the stand-up airs is like a flashback, sort of.
Okay. I feel like a lot of your scenes were stand-up because there was that the time that you did it with Kristen, right? Yeah. You brought her on. Mm-hmm. And then was there was another time?
The
reading the diary? Were you there in the reading the diary scene?
I watched it, but I wasn't on that. That was Ariana and Tom's thing.
That was Ariana. Yeah. So who would you say does better stand up, Ariana or Kristen?
Well, neither of them do stand up.
I know, but did on the show.
Well, I forgot what they aired of Kristen's, but Kristen did a really good job. Like that. So we filmed, I can't remember if they aired the first time we did like a stand up thing, but the second time, I'm talking about like as a group, cause Kristen and I did it twice, two seasons in a row. I don't remember. But Kristen actually did a really good job if you saw the full thing. Like, we wrote it.
Well, she did. There was the Jack's penis thing that she drew, right? And then Brittany got mad.
Yeah.
That was one of the times. Yeah.
That was actually like a sketch written by someone else in this like sketch group we formed. But yeah. But whatever. Yeah, I would say, well, but Ariana wasn't trying to do stand-up. She was just reading from a diary. And she'll say that. Right. Like, she hates when people are, like making fun of her. She's like, I wasn't trying to do stand-up. I was reading from a diary. So right, I'm going right. no, to have to go with Kristen because little... we actually forced her to do at least, like, an opening monologue of a stand-up set. So.
Yeah. And you're still really close with Kristen?
Oh, yeah. She just got a tattoo with my handwriting it on, like, last week. Like a Tom Petty,
what's written?
Learning to Fly, that song by Tom Petty. So like I wasn't with her, but she had me write it down on like a piece of paper and take a photo of it and send it to her and she got it.
Why do you have nicer handwriting?
No, it's just like to have it as a memory because we're so close and we both love classic rock and stuff.
Oh, that's so nice. So did it like, was it ever hard for you to watch when she was sort of like getting a lot of shit on the show and like,
oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, part of it, like, I mean, she's not innocent. I mean, part of it, but at the same time, like, I do feel like the whole crazy Kristen thing has been really run into the ground. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
She's not.
Because everyone's fucking crazy.
Everyone's crazy. And she's, like, really one of the sweetest people in the world.
Yeah, and I think that is, like, said a lot. Like, I feel like even when she gets shit, like, I feel like I've heard Stassi say and other people say, like, that she has a really big heart and is very loved. But yeah, she doesn't get the best edit, maybe.
Yeah.
Are you close with everyone else on the show as well?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't not get along with anyone. I'm just trying to think. Yeah, I mean, everyone for the most part. Like last weekend, I was hanging out at Brittany and Jax's. I mean, we all really hang out quite a bit. I'd say not quite as much now, though, because I feel like everyone's like bought houses and living in the valley.
Yeah.
And like they're, you know, everyone's really coupled up. So it's not as much of like just friends hanging out. It's like we all do stuff as like groups but a lot of times it's like the couples will all do stuff, and I'm usually not doing that.
Are you going to be on season 8?
Was that what we just filmed? Yeah. I mean, I'm there for a lot of things. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't.
Because they film things. Right. Because sometimes they film like, right. And sometimes there are like events or things for the show. So you're invited because you're friends with the group.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm not doing like one-on-one lunch scenes or anything.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Were you ever caught in the midst of like beef while filming or while not filming? Like, were you ever part of like some major drama that you can tell us about?
I mean, I would say like the main one was when Kristen brought, the Miami girl came or whatever, and I didn't know Ariana at the time. And then it was so funny. So Ariana did my podcast and we've like, she's apologized to me and I've apologized to her. And it actually was me first that realized. So I remember when Ariana was like, on the beach and saying like, I just don't find Rachel funny, even though she's never seen my stand up.
Oh, right.
And I was like so hurt by that because I was like, you've never even seen it. That's my career. And you're saying like on national TV, like you're whatever.
Yeah. That's
which ended up people were actually really nice to me about that. So it was fine. But like, I just was like, she's so mean. And then I thought, what could I have done to upset her? And then I was like, Oh, I was with Kristen when, they brought the Miami girl in. Ariana didn't know me. Of course she hates me. And so we talked about that. Like,
Oh, I see. So you feel like she said that
because she missed it to like retaliate. Because
wait,
like
when Kristen brought that Miami girl, you were with her?
Yeah.
Weren't you like, Kristen, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, when she started like screaming and stuff at Diana, yeah. But I also was just like, if I just stand still and close my eyes, maybe I'll disappear and no one will notice I'm here.
Wait, what did she say? Diana, go suck a dick?
Yeah. So funny.
Wow. So that was some.
Which now they're like, they're really good friends. They were friends right after that, too.
That's really funny that you were there for that. So that's like one of the craziest things you were around for, you were saying.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
No, that was.
I think I've been around for crazy. I don't know. But I mean, even off camera, there's like fights and stuff. But
yeah, they never disappoint. They never ever disappoint. So you were saying that there was part of you that didn't want to be on the show because of your career and stuff. And do you still feel the same way? Like, do you ever have any regrets that you didn't put on the Sir dress and start working there?
No, I really don't. I mean, I would be lying if I said there hasn't been like a fleeting thought of like, well, if I just would have participated more, like, you know, maybe I'd be selling 1,000 person theaters as opposed to a couple hundred person theaters, you know, when I tour. But then I'm like, I'll get there anyways. It doesn't matter. And I'm not good at reality TV. Like I get uncomfortable when people are fighting. And also they don't care about like me saying sarcastic, funny comments on camera. Like they want to hear people fighting and stuff. And I don't really do that.
I see where you're saying.
I'd rather just eat. Yeah.
You have to be like a confrontational person and starch it.
I don't care enough about anything.
Yeah, you have to starch it.
Be like that.
Yeah, sometimes I wonder because it's people think it's really glamorous and really cool, and then you have to remember that you have to do some shit. You know what I mean? And you have to like show every part of your life, and it can be really hard, I'm sure, for them. And
oh yeah, and that's why they deserve everything they have from it, like money and the projects and all that stuff, because they really have put themselves out there, and they have to face a lot of criticism and stuff. Like I commend them. I think it's great.
So you're a huge supporter. I also saw you had Naomi from Southern Charm. So you watch other Bravo shows?
Well, she's also my friend.
Oh, cool.
Stassi and I stalked Naomi and Danny from Southern Charm a couple of years ago and flew to Charleston and forced them to be our friends.
No, so,
like,
you're lying.
Our best friend.
What do you
swear to God? we started talking to them on like Twitter, and then like they casually were like, you guys should come to Charleston sometime.
And you were like, okay.
And
it was miracle.
Yeah, and we literally like, we could have seemed creepy.
That actually sounds really creepy, but it's so great.
Yeah. We flew to Charleston and
hung out.
We became all best friends like instantly.
No,
I mean, we're close with like the whole cast of Southern Charm. Yeah,
so
or not the whole cast, but
because I
don't know some of them.
When I finished VPR, I was like, I did. I actually started really late. I just started watching the show like in January of this year, so I like binged it from the beginning and posted to my stories just like highlights of what was going on. And people really connected with people that watch it were like, oh my God, you know, people love like those iconic scenes. And so that became,
are you talking about you only started watching Vanderpump in January of this year?
Uh-huh.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
crazy.
So I started recapping like my binge. And then when I finished it, it was a sad day and everyone was like, do Southern Charm. So I just started Southern Charm. And because I'm like supposed to be really big Bravo person, but I'm like a fraud because like I actually don't watch enough Bravo shows. It's so hard, you know, because I'm also a person that needs to like watch from the beginning and like know everything that went on from day one. So I saw you had Naomi and I was like, so you watch other Bravo shows?
I hadn't really watched Southern Charm in the last couple of years, but since I was having her on, I like binged it. I really don't watch a lot of TV, and I'm not trying to say that to like sound cool. Like I just don't, it gives me anxiety. Like I've gotten better about it now. Like I'll watch 90 Day Fiance and stuff, but like I used to be like, when I turn the TV on, I don't know what to watch. So I would just give up and then do something else.
That's why I know that happens if you don't have a show to binge. That's why I always like to have like one show that whenever I have that time to like turn on the TV, you can just have like seasons upon seasons. So I really like
it's
that.
Very stressful if like you don't know, like, and you're like, am I going to like this? What do I get into? And like, I went like years without really watching TV. I've only maybe over the last like month, like forced myself to like watch TV a little bit.
But you got obsessed with Naomi and Danny. So you were watching.
Yeah, so we were watching it then, but also like I think it was just because it was like Bravo people, and like we would like talk to them like through Twitter or Instagram or whatever. And Stassi and I were just in a phase where we were just up for adventures too.
That's funny. Did you meet the guys too?
Oh yeah, I was just texting with Shep yesterday. Like we're close with all them too.
Oh my God. Craig, the thing is, I thought they were both kind of cute. No, I thought Craig was really hot before. I was like, ooh, look at the like hottest man on TV. And then I started watching and I still think he looks good. But it's like once you get to know a person, you're like, oh, Craig, you're not just like hot guy from my computer.
Oh, he's cute though.
He is cute. No, it is because people were telling me to watch it after I finished Vanderpump. So I thought it was like kind of like a Vanderpump adjacent show, and it's very different, but in a good way.
You don't think it's kind of adjacent? I guess no.
I mean, it was like when I started to watch it, I was like, plantations and like South Carolina.
Really rich people.
Yeah, like really rich people. And like Catherine was like, here there were like slaves. You know, I was like, what is this show? But at the end of the day, I guess it is about people like, you know, hooking up and doing kind of shitty
things. It's kind of the same thing. It's just in a different setting.
Yeah, sometimes. Wait, how was going there to Charleston? Did you love it?
Oh, it's awesome. I've been like, Saucy and I went 2 or 3 times. And then I went last spring, like 2018, and did a show there. And I forced Shep to open for me.
Oh my God. How did that go?
He actually did really good. He like really like wrote some really good jokes and took it seriously. And he did 5 to 8 minutes up top. I can't remember. And then brought me on stage. Yeah.
That's crazy. Writing jokes is so hard. Like it seems like how, what is the process to like, what is your process? Is it like just thoughts that come into your head and you always write them down, or how does it usually work for you?
Yeah. Like I'll take notes, but I don't write things out like verbatim. Like let's say for example, I did decide to do the whole, like us acting like gremlins on the streets to like scare people away. That's enough that I've written out there that next time I go on stage, I'll just kind of improvise it and work it out.
But you'll have like points of like, okay, I'll do the gremlin bit. Oh my God, isn't it? But so you get a rush from that feeling of like going out and having people, having to make them laugh. Like
there's no other feeling like it. I absolutely love it.
And what if they don't, Rachel? What if they don't laugh? What does it feel like? Move on.
Well, I know that it makes that's more rare, but it makes like the laugh so much better because you're like, you get better. And then you also realize like, you know, I don't know. Like sometimes like bombing is like kind of a relief because you're like, all right, that's not going to happen again for a while. And then it just forces you to get better. I mean, everyone, you know, goes through that.
Because it's so different. I feel like there are people that are funny, you know, and then there's a difference between being like funny and being able to do stand up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think a lot of funny people could do it. I think they're just terrified of it. And I think that stand up takes a long time to get good at. And I think that people don't want to put in the work. And like, they don't want to experience doing a shitty bar show for 2 people who aren't paying attention. You know, they don't want to experience like all of it, or going alone on the road and being in the middle of nowhere and, you know, for a week performing at a comedy club where you don't know anyone and you're just like alone in a hotel room afterwards, like, you know.
That actually sounds really cool to me. I'm like, that sounds fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fun. Unless it's like, I don't know, like I've done Reno a lot and like you're in a casino for a week and Reno's not somewhere you just kind of want to walk around out. So I would like literally like I would do laps around the casino outside just to get fresh air. But for the most part, I was inside of a casino for a week.
Oh, no, I hate that. Yeah. I went to Vegas like 2 months ago for the first time and I hated it.
Oh yeah, you live on the East Coast, so I guess Vegas is like a thing.
Yeah. And also it's not a thing, like I hated it.
I like Vegas, but only for like a day or two.
Yeah, it was just like, I'm like a person that if I'm traveling, like I want to be like seeing places, and there's like not, you know, like walking up and down the strip is like gross. You know what I mean?
Totally.
So, and then inside the casino, it's like all cigarettes and like gross and depressing and people are like, ugh. So I could definitely imagine that, but, I definitely want to see you perform. Are you coming to New York anytime soon?
I think so soon. I'm working with a booker now who I think she has been going to like Philly and then Long Island, but I probably will pop into the city and do a set too.
Well, let us know when you do.
I will. I always have them up on my website or on my Instagram at Rachel N. O'Brien. Reads like Rachel N'O'Brien.
Okay. Well, I was just going to ask you to tell us like where we can find you and all that good stuff. So you're doing it for me. So, so Instagram
is RachelNOBRIEN. And then my website is Rachel O'Brien Comedy. And I mentioned I love food and I always am like cooking and putting photos and stuff on like my Insta story. And people would always ask me for the recipes. I was like, I should just start a little food blog. So now there's a recipe portion of my website.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then I'm adding also like a travel one too. No, there's a lot of butter in everything. it is sort of healthy. Like it's not like heavy on carbs or anything. It actually is pretty healthy. It's not.
So, but that's so hard. No, because you travel a lot. So how you cooking, you have to like eat all the shit on the road.
Yeah, but I know how to eat healthy on the road.
Yeah.
But I'm also adding a section that's like a travel one too, because I am always on the road in different cities, like you know, I'm going to add like recommendations and stuff because people ask me for that a lot too. So those are being updated.
That's so cool. So Instagram, podcast, Be Here For A While, available everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. And website with not only your upcoming shows and everything you're doing, but also new recipes and a travel blog in the near future.
Yes.
Cool. Well, really do let me know when you're coming to New York because I'll come.
I will for sure.
I'm a supporter.
Thank you. I will for sure. Do I follow you on the Insta yet?
I don't know, Rachel, if you are don't,
you, do you then... only do you only have the not skinny but not fat one, or do you have another one?
I have a personal one, but I like don't really use them.
Okay, because I tried to find you earlier on that and I couldn't figure out which one it was.
Really?
Yeah, I was doing it while we were talking.
Oh, but I was like, Rachel,
what is the actual name?
It's not skinny but not fat.
Oh, I thought you were saying you had another personal one too.
Oh yeah, but I don't really use that one.
Okay.
I don't use that one. Why do you have a personal one?
I only have a personal one. I don't have one for my podcast.
Yeah. No, but I feel like, oh yeah. No, because my Instagram is like
follow.
Everything.
Okay. Got it.
Is everything. It's personal. It's shows. It's memes. It's, you know.
Got it.
Your last picture is so pretty, Rachel.
Oh my God, thank you.
Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me on. It's really fun.
For a while.
Good one.
And if you do the gremlin bit and I'm not there because it's not New York, then have someone videotape it for me.
Oh, no, I'm 100% going
to
do the gremlin bit.
Because I need to see you. I need to see you like running around stage like a chimpanzee.
I will do it and I will act it out just for you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Okay. This was fun.
Right. Yeah. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thank you guys for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed my episode this week with Rachel O'Brien. Thanks to Rachel O'Brien for joining us. And thanks to the Podglomerate Network, Peruge, for editing, producing my show, and making it everything that it is. And again, thanks to you guys for being here, for rating and reviewing the podcast on Apple Podcasts, for making me a happy, happy lady. And I just want to tell you that I am taking a 2-week hiatus, a 2-week like break from podcasting. A girl needs to relax, you guys, but only 2 weeks. So we're going to be back on October 15th for another episode of Not Skinny But Not Fat. And until then, you can dive in and listen to old episodes. If you haven't listened, you can re-listen. You can follow me on Instagram and watch my stories so you can hear my voice and you don't get withdrawal symptoms. Just kidding. Love you guys. See you so soon.
The Podglomerate, a sonic universe.